I need to prerequisite my sermon today because I want to give credit where credit is due. The idea for this sermon is not mine. I borrowed this idea from a man named Stephen Furtick. He's a pastor at Elevation Church. And I was reading some stuff that he wrote, and I read some of his blog, and really grasped onto this idea and kind of let it develop throughout the week. And so the idea is not mine, but I've prayerfully sought out what God has for us today through Stephen's, words and experience. And so we're going to be looking at Elisha. That's with an S-H, not Elijah with a J, but with an S-H. Elisha was Elijah's successor, but he doesn't get as much recognition as Elijah did. He did twice as many miracles, but he just doesn't have the same street cred. He was a rookie prophet in the nation of Israel. The kings had not yet called on him to prophesy at this point. And then they run into trouble. And I think we've heard a little bit of testimony about trouble this morning with trees falling over and wet basements. And I think the farmers can probably speak to the word trouble a little bit as well. And the thing about trouble is that when we experience trouble, we then look for God in places that maybe we wouldn't normally look for him. It kind of leads us to pray a little harder. It leads us to look for him a little more intentionally, to spend more time seeking out what his will and what his purpose might be in all of this trouble. So I think a little bit of trouble is a good thing because it forces us to depend on God in ways that maybe we haven't depended on him yet, or ways that we haven't depended on him for quite some time. And so today we're going to look at a word that Elijah gave to the kings of Israel in 2 Kings chapter 3. Now to give you a little background, the kings of the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel had come together with a third party, and they were going to attack an enemy king. So that's kind of where we're at. And then we pick up the story in 2 Kings. I'm going to start chapter 3, verse 9. So the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or for the animals with them. Talk about trouble. They're marching, they're preparing for battle, they're getting ready to attack, and then all of a sudden there's no water. No water for the soldiers to drink, no water for the animals to drink. So this isn't trouble like, I ate too much food yesterday and my jeans don't fit. This isn't trouble like my boyfriend and girlfriend broke up with me and my world's about to end. This is trouble like I cannot provide nourishment for my body and for the bodies of my animals, and we're going to die unless we get this solved. This is real trouble. Now listen to what Elijah says, or listen to what the king says first. I like to read it like this. What? Exclaimed the king of Israel. Has the Lord called us three kings together only to deliver us into the hands of Moab? But Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here, through whom we may inquire of the Lord? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. So there you go. There's the lack of street cred already. Elisha, who was Elijah's water boy, is here. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, why do you want to involve me? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. So basically, Elisha's saying, you're not giving me the respect that's due me. So why? What do you want from me? I'm a prophet of the Lord, and you wait until now to call on me? So that'd be like me coming up here on Sunday morning and saying, what is it you people want? I mean, that's basically what he's saying. And the king replies, no, because it is the Lord who called us three kings together to deliver us into the hands of Moab. And Elisha said, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not pay attention to you. See, these armies that Elisha was speaking to, these kings, they had a lot of technical ability, more than their enemies. They had their ducks in a row. If it wasn't for the water thing, man, they would be ready. They would be ready to conquer. But because of their lack of water, because of the trouble that they were in, they were about to be taken over. Similarly, I know that we are a great church. We have a lot of great people here. We have a lot of awesome, God-given talents and abilities. But only God can send the rain. Only God can send the rain. I want us to be a church that serves those around us. I want us to be a community that shares the love and hope of Jesus Christ. I want us to use the abilities and gifts that God has blessed us with to reach the world for Jesus Christ. But no matter what we do, no matter how many committees we have, no matter what our programs are, no matter how well articulated our mission statement is, we can't make it rain. Only God can make it rain. So now that Elijah had made his point, now that he'd showed or told the kings of Israel that, you know, you really have it all together, but you're missing the big picture here. You're missing God. He says, okay, now bring me a harpist. Bring me a harpist. This is one of those parts that I really feel like we need to channel Stephen Furtick, because what he says here just really impacted me greatly. And so Elisha wants a harpist. They're out of water. They don't know where to turn. They don't know what's next. They're seeking answers from God, and Elijah says, I'm going to need some background music. I'm going to need a theme song for this. And so actually, I want to invite Lucas to sit at the piano for a minute. I'm going to put him on the spot because I know he can respond. Don't play anything until I let you know. I'm going to let you freestyle. The reality is, this is how the prophets spoke back then. They wanted to prepare the atmosphere for the word of the Lord. We're not used to this, except for like at the end of a crusade or at the end of a camp when there's an altar call and there's some soft music playing in the background, and everybody gets really emotional and excited, and it kind of sets the tone for God's word to be shared. So I'm going to say a few lines that I borrowed from Steve without music, and you tell me, you kind of decide how you feel. Okay, ready? Here we go. You can do it. You can make it. Don't give up, no matter what. Now, those are encouraging, inspirational words. You know, you could take those and say, man, you know, I'm really ready to get on fire for God. I'm ready to start studying my Bible, to pray, to read Scripture, to do the things that God wants me to do. All right, now I'm going to have Lucas just play some kind of encouraging tune as I share these words again. So go ahead, do your best. Bring it. You can do it. You can make it. Don't give up, no matter what. Stop. Didn't you feel that? There's something about the music, the harpist coming in, that prepares the atmosphere for God's presence. Thanks, Lucas. The problem is that in moments like at camp or at conferences, or at Billy Graham crusades, moments of great inspiration fail to have application. Moments of great inspiration fail to have application, because we can hear a great message preached, we can read an awesome book, we can have a really spirit-filled business meeting even, and we can be on fire and we can be ready with our checklist of things that we're going to do that week and that month and that year to get things in line, to be ready to hear from God, to be ready to do what God wants us to do. And then Monday comes, and the real world takes over again. And we've got work, and we've got school, and we've got bills to pay, and kids screaming, and meals to prepare, and we've got to handle going through the checkout line at Walmart or Hy-Vee, and we've got gas to put in our cars, and the real world sets in, and pretty soon the great inspiration doesn't get applied. There's no application. It falls. It stops. The inspirational music is over. But today I want to look at what Elisha said while the harpist was playing that will get us from a place of knowing that God wants to do more with our lives to actually experiencing it. So with the great inspiration, I want to give us application. So now we're going to get into the meat of what I want to share with you today, which is 2 Kings 3:15 through 20. And I'm going to start halfway through verse 15. While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came on Elijah, and he said, "This is what the Lord says." Now that's important, because it's not what Manny's saying this morning. It's not what Steve said in his blog. It's not what any of us are saying. This is what the Lord says. "Make this valley full of ditches. For the Lord says, you will not see wind or rain, but the valley will be filled with water so that you and your cattle and your animals will drink. This is only a small thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will give you the Moabites also. Then you will destroy every strong city and cut down every good tree. You will close all the wells of water and destroy every good piece of land with stones. The next morning, about the time when the gift is given on the altar, water came by way of Edom. The country was filled with water." We want that for our lives, don't we? We want our land to be filled with water. Maybe not physically, because that's where we're at now. But spiritually, we want to be full of living water. We all want God to impact our lives. But before the land can be filled with water, he instructs the king to start digging ditches. To start digging ditches. If you want God to send the rain in your life, you need to dig a ditch. It means that we can't just sit around and pray and then wait for God to do something. We have to grab a shovel. We have to prepare the ground for what he's going to do in our lives. You know, I shared last week, I think, about Parker Palmer's words in the last chapter of his book, Let Your Life Speak, when he talks about the seasons. And spring starts out, and his words are, it's plug ugly. There's mud everywhere. The mud will suck the boots clean off your feet. It's nasty, but it's preparing the ground for new life. We have a responsibility in our relationship with God to do something. There's a time to wait. There's a time to wait upon the Lord and be patient, and that's a Quaker distinctive, to wait upon the Lord. But there's also a time to act. There's also a time to grab a shovel and start digging a ditch, because God's about to pour water all over this place, and we've got to have something to collect it with. I bet you the kings would have preferred to hear something like this. If you think positive thoughts about hydration, it will rain. If you believe really hard, you can achieve it. Believe that you're good enough, and the water will come. But that's not right. What Elisha says was, if you want it to rain, grab a shovel and dig a ditch. If you want blessing, prepare the ground for God to pour it out in your life. That's what we've been preparing for here. We did the 42 days of prayer. That was digging a ditch. Now, many of you have been contacted by members of ministry and council. We're doing some visitations. We're getting to know the things that God's doing in your life and where you feel we're being led. We're digging a ditch. The spiritual formation group that's going to meet on June 12th, we're digging a ditch. I'm doing premarital counseling with a couple, and we're going through a book called Preparing for Marriage. And I'd read through it previously a couple of years ago, but I thought, man, it would be really good for me to kind of read along with them so that I can be fresh on the material. And I have a new version of the book, and it has little cartoons in it with quotes at the bottom. And sometimes those quotes are really funny and they're really silly, but the one this week, I'm just like, God, man, sometimes you just line things up perfectly. And the quote was about driving. And it says, "You can sit at the wheel of a car and turn it all you want, but unless you're going somewhere, it's not going to turn. It's not going to change your direction." We feel like God's leading our church somewhere. We feel like God has a plan and a purpose for a new season at Bangor Liberty Friends Church. But unless we're moving, it's going to be really hard for us to turn the direction that God wants us to turn. So we have to dig ditches. We have to prepare the ground for the rain. We can't make it rain, but we can dig ditches. What are the ditches that God's called you to dig for your life in your relationship with him? How are you preparing the soil as an individual for God's blessing to be poured out in your life? What are you doing to collect the rains that God wants to pour out on you? The reason that I'm standing here in front of you today at Bangor Liberty Friends Church preaching God's word is because I've dug a few ditches in my life. God called me out of the darkness when I was in my early 20s. And that day I dug a ditch. I said, use me however you want. And so he started preparing me and my heart for the work in his kingdom. And then God called me to invest into the lives of youth. He gave me a heart for junior high and high school age kids. And so I started volunteering with the church. And God says, I've got more for you. And so I dug a ditch. That was a hard one to dig because it involved me quitting my job and moving my family to a whole other place to start getting training for the work that God called me into. But you know what? The rain came. And then God called me to Iowa. And that ditch was moving to another state without any family and without a house. We lived in the pastor's basement for 6 months. Talk about digging a ditch. But you know what? The rain came. And then God called me to serve a new church as a pastor. I'd never been a pastor before. I was scared out of my mind. I felt inequipped. I felt ill-qualified. And I was intimidated by many of you because I look up to you a lot. And I thought, who am I to lead these godly people? But I dug a ditch. It's still raining. Still pouring out blessing on us. We have to dig ditches. We can't make it rain, but we can prepare the ground to collect the blessings that God wants to pour out on us. And just like we experienced this week with the rain, if we don't have adequate ground preparation, God's blessing can sometimes be overwhelming. Are our ditches deep enough right now for the amount of blessing that God wants to pour out? Can we handle the blessing? That's an important question for us to ask as a church. A lot of times my professors in college would call the application the so what. And so I want to talk about what's the so what of today's message. What's the so what about digging ditches? We get it. It makes sense. So what? Only God can make it rain. Only God can make it rain. God is in the midst of doing some amazing things in the lives of a lot of individuals in our church. And I've been blessed to hear testimonies from you as you email, as you call, as you come into my office to tell me about the growth that's taking place in your life. And I can't take credit for any of it because all I've done is dig holes. God's pouring out the water. And God is moving our church into an awesome new season. A season of growth, not just numerically. That's the last thing on my mind. Spiritually, raising up godly leaders for new works that he is preparing. And he's asking us to dig more ditches. We can't sit back and wait for God to pour stuff out. We have to prepare the ground. We have to make sure that we are ready to collect the water that's coming. Only God can make it rain, but we can all dig ditches. Let's pray. Lord, I'm excited about tomorrow and the tomorrows to come. Lord, sometimes manual labor is hard. Digging ditches is not an easy job. It's tiring. Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes as you're digging, there's people behind you filling the hole right back in. But Lord, I pray that you would give us perseverance. Lord, I know in my heart of hearts that you have awesome and wonderful plans for Bangor Liberty Friends, for Iowa Yearly Meeting, for your church worldwide, and for each and every person sitting in here today. But Lord, we can only collect the amount of blessings that we're prepared for. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to strive, to work hard, to put in our effort, to dig the ditches, to prepare the ground for your blessing. so that when it comes, Lord, we might see how awesome it is. That just like Elisha and those kings, we can see the water for the animals to drink and for the men to be replenished and renewed and for them to accomplish the mission that you set out for them. And so, Lord, may this not be a moment of great inspiration without application, but may we leave here ready to apply these truths to our lives, ready to dig ditches, ready to push, ready to be intentional, ready to not let Monday take over the good plans that we have in store, but to push through that distracting life that comes tomorrow. May we keep digging, and may we keep expecting your blessing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.